Being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Tantric Lounge with noted expert on sex, love, and intimacy, Jacqueline Hellier. In our program, we'll discuss not only the nature of sex and the spirituality of sex, but also the science of sex. Now, here is one of Australia's leading experts on sex and love, Jacqueline Hellier.
Hello, and welcome to the Tantric Lounge, where we talk sex, science, and spirituality. I'm Jacqueline Hellier, and as you can tell, I'm sounding particularly sexy today, thanks to a charming flu virus. But
There's nothing like an inflamed larynx to give you the voice that particular quality, is
there? I'm sounding more and more like a late night presenter.
Oh, Jacqueline, it's all very, very sensuous.
Oh, well, I think you were the one who gave me this charming flu. Thank you, Xavier.
I think you would have gotten it anyway.
Actually, I think the whole of Australia is coming down with this logy. But anyway, so yes. So here we are.
So what's the latest on Planet Jacqueline?
The latest on Planet Jacqueline, well, gosh, it's actually been so busy where I'm still putting together my revised website and putting together the new programs for men and women and organizing new retreats and stuff. Just wanted to do a little promo for the women's retreat that's coming up in November. It's 3 days of getting in touch with your absolutely gorgeous femininity, the power and beauty of your female sexuality. There's a couples retreat at the just after that. And for those of you who are international, you can come along to my Bali retreat in March. All the dates for that are up on my website at the moment. And stay tuned for Vietnam next September. So all of that is happening.
Yes, and there's also the 30 Nights of Nookie.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about the
30 Nights of Nookie. Yes. So that's thanks to Durex, who asked me to come on board as their sexpert to develop a 30-night program, with the idea being that couples sign up for this, and over a 30-day period, every single evening, they engage in some delightful activity together.
Is there a fixed date when this starts, or can they start their 30 nights sometime between now and whenever?
It officially launches in September.
Right.
So you can sign up now, right? So the website is live, and the website is 30nightsofnookie.com, and that's spelt 30 is in
30.
Nights of Nookie, Nookie spelt with an I-E.
N-O-O-K-I-E.
Yes. 30 Nights of Nookie, and you can do this from anywhere in the world.
.com.au.
Yes. So you can sign up now, and you can follow the journey of our, we have a celebrity couple who I'm following through their program as well. And they're all really beautiful, delightful activities. They're actually not sexual. Well, they're not sex as in they're not about the genitals. Interestingly, a condom company's brief was not to include the genitals in the program, which is sort of interesting.
And so, ironic.
Yes.
The couples who sign on to 30 Nights of Nookie will all be doing it at the same time.
Yes, I think you can start later on. Uh-huh. The whole thing's going to be live until the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So you can start with any time within that.
Yes.
September, October, November, because but at the end of November, if you haven't signed on, you're not going to get your 30 nights because December will run out.
I don't know the details of that. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
I like to think about the system.
Yes.
We're going to do 30 nights. Let's do them systematically.
Oh, yes.
Okay, night number one starts today.
Yes, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, as I'm always going on about, it's more the getting to sex than the actual having sex. It seems to be the issue for most people who I encounter. And what you'll get from doing these 30 nights is a toolbox, essentially.
Yes.
A whole bunch of different ways to connect.
Yet one more tool in the many tools that we offer our listeners for free. including this radio show, except, of course, that the radio show costs money.
Lots of money.
So once again,
yes.
We're just reminding for the people who listen to the show live and also people who listen to the show as a podcast that this does cost a little bit of money to make happen, and we would be really, really, really grateful if you'd like to throw a little bit of money our way to keep this show live and, most importantly, independent. As much as we love our sponsors when we have them, we also like to keep a lot of autonomy, and it's difficult to do if you're working with a sponsor sometimes because there are certain things that they quite reasonably ask doesn't happen.
Yes.
But if we're to be truly independent and...
Yes.
We need to maintain.
Bring you the quality that you're used to from the Tantric Lounge.
The quality that you've come to learn to expect. So sometime within the next few weeks, we'll have a magic button on the Jacqueline Hellier website.
Yes, we have to wait until the new website is up because there's too much happening at the moment in my back end.
But but once Jacqueline sorts out her back end, there'll be a magic button you can press on her new back end, which will enable...
No, it'll be my new front end.
Your new front end.
Yes.
So
we have to change the back end to make a new front end.
So once Jacqueline has sorted out her back end, then we'll all automatically sort out her front end.
We'll all be all nice and new and fresh.
Yes, you can press...
My new look,
back end. You can press her fresh front end.
The button of my front end.
Her front end. And find the delights of being able to share some of your hard-earned wealth with us so that we can share some of our hard-earned wealth.
Knowledge.
And, yes.
Wealth of knowledge.
Yes. With you.
Mm. Mm.
Moving right along, it's now quite a few minutes into our show, and we haven't actually told our listeners what it's about today.
Oh, yes. No, we haven't. No.
Today's show is about a mature woman's sexual mission.
Yes. And I am so excited about...
We found a mature woman.
Really? Yes.
She's laughing in the background.
Yes, that's you can hear her in the background. So, yes, but this is not just any mature woman. This is a woman on a mission. This is a woman who had a major life change in her 50s.
What's the name of this magical mature woman?
This magical mature woman's name is Trish Lehman. Did I pronounce that right, Trish?
Lehman.
Lehman, sorry, I can never get that right.
It's got an H in it. It's L-E-H-M-A-N. You'd think it was Lehman.
Hmm.
Wouldn't
Lehman.
You? But it's actually Lehman. It's Lehman. Yes, okay.
Anyway, from now on referred to as Trish.
Yes.
Hello, Trish. Welcome.
Good morning, Jacqueline. And to you, Zaga.
And to the rest of the world.
And to the world, yes.
Which, is right out there. Which may not be necessarily having a morning.
True.
They could be listening to this at 11 p.m., for all we know.
Well, people can listen to this show at any time.
At any time. That's the power of modern radio internet stuff.
Yes.
Astounding.
Trish, my first question to you is, what is it that you call yourself? Because it's not just about this mission that you're on, because you are on a mission, aren't you, the sexual mission?
Well, I did use the phrase a year or two ago, saving the world one cock at a time. So I suppose you could say it is a mission.
That's brilliant.
Sort of stirs up all sorts of interesting imagery in my head. Mm. So how is it that
excuse the pun.
boom, boom. So what's the deal with Trish Lehman? What is it that you call yourself formally now? What is it that you do?
My title?
Yes.
Well, I really can't find a title for who I am and what I do. And I've sort of, I think... Well, in the world, we all seem to have a title and have a piece of paper for what we do, and I haven't really got much of anything except I think I know how to love, and that comes out through my hands and my body. So what that's called, I don't know, a lover of the world, a lover of humankind, or, I'll put it out there to the listeners. They can give me a title if that makes them feel happy.
that's a great. Okay, the prize, we can have a competition. The prize is a packet of Durex condoms of any variety that you like. But if you can email us and tell us after you listen to this program what would be a great title for Trish and the work that she does and what she should call herself. Because we tried banding around things like sex surrogate, sex worker, which doesn't really describe what you do to the depth that it does. You do provide a humanitarian service, but you also get paid for it. Mm. It's all, but your mission seems to be about what you call loving touch.
Yeah, I guess so. And I suppose what really inspires me is the thing that, you know, we thought that we were, one would think that we were in an enlightened age.
Like being here in the early 21st century.
Yeah, and, you know, there was Germaine Greer 30 or 40 years ago when there was Cosmopolitan, and we thought we'd come out and that, we, you know, there was a sexual revolution in the 70s and whatever. But I am surprised to continually hear, not with women my age only, but with young people who, you know, girls in their 30s, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, who haven't had an orgasm, women of all ages who are reluctant to talk about sex. You know, I hear teenagers speaking about it in a crass way, giving a head job or whatever, but not true, healthy, wholesome sex.
Not when it comes to talking about their emotions or how they feel or the or love.
Yeah. Oh, there's airy-fairy, but I was in Ireland just recently, and this woman who had been in France, and she was running a women's group, and she said, I've run women's groups in France for years, but she said, we always get to this spot. I just accidentally happened to be there that night. We always get to this certain spot and we don't talk about, and it's sex. And I thought, good grief, you know, we've got women's groups and we're not talking about sex. Well, what's going on?
Well, it's like so many of the clients who come to me have been seeing other relationship and marriage counsellors and they're not addressing sex. And, like, how can you improve your relationship if you're not addressing sex?
I remember I saw a beautiful book that Deepak Chopra did a few years ago, and he said, and it was about sex and coming from his Indian culture, you know, they knew so much more than we, you know or are experiencing or using that information. And he said of the hundreds of thousands of requests and questions that I get in my years, he said, I never get anybody asking specifically about sex.
No.
Is that because people think that they know it all or because they're reluctant? What are the reasons that you think people don't talk about sex?
I think there's still, I don't know, Jacqueline, what do you think? I think there's still so much shame and guilt around it, you know, and even speaking about women's bleeding, young people some months ago I was with and said something about bleeding or blood, whatever, they go, oh, my God.
Hmm.
Where are we at? You know, like if we're not bleeding, half of us have got penises, half of us have got vulvas, and, you know, across every race, colour, creed, nation, we get it together.
Mm.
You know, it's the most common activity across the planet.
In the near future, we'll be having a show on menopause and sex. That's another big taboo subject.
Whoa, I'd like to be in on that one.
Oh, well, feel free. We'll invite you into the studio again and you can contribute your point of view on that. But getting back to you.
Yes.
Who were you before you started doing the sort of work that you do?
Who am I? Who was I?
You're still the same person. How was your life different before you?
What was my life? My life, I was married at 18.
How old are you now, can we ask?
I'm 62.
Yep.
Yeah. And
that's 44 years.
Of marriage. Well, I'm not married now.
No, but it's 44 years ago.
Ago. Yeah, true. My eldest will be 44 in September.
Oh, was it one of those weddings?
Oh, it was, and I was a good Catholic girl, so it wasn't it wasn't happy times around the family kitchen table.
Do you still have the shotgun?
No. No, it was, in retrospect, it wasn't a bad experience, yeah. But I think I was always a really spiritual kid. I grew up really Catholic, and I was, I don't know whether it goes being Scorpio, but I was always intense and over the top. So when you said earlier on a mission, I was going to be a missionary. I was really spiritual. I wasn't just your Sunday Catholic, you know.
You were in a lifelong missionary position.
Oh, I've discovered many, many more positions than missionary now. But I was always wanting to save the world or save. And so anyway, I got married at 18 because I was exploring I was sexually waking up, let's say. The man that I married was a really good man. He loved me and he pursued me. So we became pregnant and we had four children quite quickly. And then in my late 20s, so I think I was 30, I was still then yearning to get, I had had ecstatic experiences of bliss and heart opening and whatever under the umbrella of church.
Mm-hmm.
It was Catholic, but the thing that I did like, that I'm grateful for about that, we were very in tune with the lives of the saints and the mystics.
Right, yeah.
And I used to read books and books on the lives of the saints, and they were having extraordinary or paranormal or out-of-body or whatever experiences of ecstasy.
Yes.
Well, I began having them and when I was at a Catholic boarding school.
Was that through prayer or how did they come upon you?
Were they spontaneous?
Yeah, it was spontaneous, but I would be there, you know, the Blessed Sacrament, the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and I was just in ecstasy, you know. I can only describe it as love. I tried
you
to
sound
analyze
like an,
it.
You sound like an Australian version of Teresa of Avila.
It was, when I read that,
yeah.
It was like that, yeah. And I'd be just in tears, in rapture, and I'd try to get all the girls praying and you know, you must experience this love. So that's all I knew in my life. I knew this great love inside me, and I had all the experiences that I should have turned me off, and they didn't. So then I, when in my late 20s, I had these kids, and I wanted to get back to this ecstatic state that I had experienced as a teenager. And I went to a charismatic thing within the Catholic Church. I wanted to be safe, so I didn't want to get off track.
Had to be Catholic.
I had to be Catholic because that was, you know,
that's the only safe path. Yes, yes.
That was your spiritual comfort zone.
Well, it's all I knew. And and I didn't have any reason to
be anything else.
Well, in fact, you probably had a lot of reason not to, because you would have got that whole hell and brimfire, and if you don't be Catholic, then you'll go to hell sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
But maybe, but it, you know, it was a feeling of like my mother and father were beautiful people. My mother lived her faith.
Yeah.
So she, I didn't have anything to see that was hypocritical, you know, with her and the way she lived.
So you had what many would have considered, aside from these ecstatic visions, a reasonably ordinary life as a country housewife.
Oh, before that, yeah. And even as a kid, we didn't have television. I didn't have any access to sex education or I was just lost in the spiritual world.
Right. So back to your late 20s, were you saying you wanted to recapture these experiences
as
a teenager?
I went to this charismatic
thing. Yes, that's right, yeah.
And I had an auntie who was just an amazingly beautiful spiritual woman, and I didn't care whether I prayed in tongues or prophesied or whatever they were doing. I just wanted what she had. And so I went to this thing this night and people prayed with me and I sort of went out and whatever. Well, it manifested as an orgasmic, full-body orgasm for hours.
Right.
And
it definitely had that sexual edge to it.
No, it was still
that same ecstatic.
Yeah, and I didn't see that until in retrospect.
Right, okay.
But interestingly, in my 20s, I had enjoyed sex, but mind you, I had four kids and breastfed for a lot of years, and but I hadn't had an orgasm.
Right.
Through my 20s.
Okay.
And then when you did have an orgasm, you had this full-blown, full-body thing.
No, I had that first, but it wasn't genitally, you know.
Engendered. Yeah.
It was just this. When I went back then, after that weekend, and I went back with my husband, I began to have orgasms.
Ooh, this is exciting.
But I didn't put the two together until years later.
So you had a breakthrough orgasm, then a lot of little more mundane orgasms.
Oh, then I got into the physical side of it.
Okay.
Yeah, then I began to have physical orgasms.
So you had a spiritual orgasm first and then
then genital orgasms.
We'll talk more about you and your orgasms and where your orgasms led after the break.
Continue to lead you
after the break.
Okay, beautiful.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-size ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
Question: what's working and what's not working in your life? Though we resolve each year to do things differently, and we want what's great for our businesses, our relationships, our health, and more, we don't always know where to turn when life gets tough. That's where Leading Life Large with host Rob Braun comes in. Our show challenges you to reevaluate where you are and keep pushing your way to the success you desire. If you want it bad enough, we can help you turn your life around. Leading Life Large airs Mondays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hellier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
And welcome back, listeners. And we're having a fascinating conversation here with Trish Lehman. Got the pronunciation right, and about a fascinating journey from good country Catholic mother of seven to sexual healer, shall we say?
Oh, that's a title that has been used, yeah.
Loving healer. And we've been talking about the orgasmic, well, you're sort of led by orgasm in some ways, weren't you? So you're telling us when you're late 20s you wanted to recapture that experience of rapture that you'd experienced when you were younger.
When I was a teenager, yeah. So that was an amazing experience. And then when Joe and I began to when we were having sex in the weeks and the months after that, oftentimes he was in tears. Right. And I didn't know what was happening, and I began the other thing was, in those early years, a very good girl didn't masturbate. You don't touch yourself.
Oh, good heavens, no.
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 After that, and I didn't relate any of it, I didn't put any of it together till years later, I began to explore myself.
Ooh.
Yeah. Simple. And so it went, it all went together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a package deal.
Given from God.
God did give you your genitals.
Yeah. So then Joe and I had a wonderful time, and then I became pregnant again.
With number five?
Number five. I was really, and the youngest, the fourth was eight then. And okay. I was really excited to be pregnant with her. But I was always involved with church. It was, you know, teaching scripture at school and you know, running liturgies. And I would go to retreats, and I was always searching and exploring and wanting more. So then I had another one, and then I had number six. And then we're married 10 years when I had that first experience. Another 10 years later, I went and did Reiki. And it was a great weekend. But when I came, it was nothing, you know, there was no whistles and bells. But when I came back, again, Joe was in tears when we were making love. The thing that I noticed then, that, you know, oral sex, I could take it or leave it, both giving and receiving. After that, I began to love it. And again, this is all in retrospect.
Right.
I'm not seeing this till years down the track and put the whole story together.
You're too busy living these experiences to contextualise them.
Yeah, and I'm still much the same, actually. I'll leave it to the rest of you and the listeners to analyse and put meaning on it.
You just experience.
I just experience, yeah.
Okay, so now we're in your late 30s, and how many children are we up to?
Six then.
Six now.
Okay. Yeah. And then, and still searching and wanting, and a lovely relation. And my husband was a good man and provided really well. I didn't ever have to go to work outside the home.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was a little, sometimes it was a lot, but he always took care of that.
Mm. And he was a farmer, wasn't he?
An auctioneer.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. So farming, we had a beautiful lifestyle block, and the kids rode horses. We chose, we didn't have TV. We chose not, So, then, that was in 91, Then in 94, I had another baby. I was 42 then.
Number seven, yeah.
I remember at that time, here was an experience that I didn't read anything. I'd never watched porn, didn't have a TV, didn't have a computer, but I began, I'd like that. And I began to have anal sex just because, oh, God, I felt like it. That was 20, we were married 20 years.
Yeah.
So, again, it was, oh, gee, that was, I don't know where that came from.
It's like you've been guided somehow.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did Joe feel about this?
Oh, he was always up for whatever. Yeah, he was.
He was a goer, was he?
He was a goer. He was like, I said, my ever-ready battery. You could just sort of turn him on at any time. But in that, he was also beautiful. You know, when I was breastfeeding, when I had that seventh child, and I'd breastfeed for 3 years, I didn't feel like sex at all. I think we didn't have sex for 8 or 9 months after she was born.
Mm.
And he was always, but don't worry, hon, you'll get it back, you know.
Nice not to have the pressure.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he was always lovely like that. But I then, after that, I started to want something like this. I knew that there was something missing, that I wanted this whole body, mind and spirit experience.
Right.
He was great with sex,
mm-hmm.
But I was wanting more, you know. So then I got onto a book that I happened upon, Mantak Chia's Cultivating the Male Sexual Energy,
yes.
Cultivating the Female Sexual
yes,
Energy.
Yes, love Mantak Chia's work.
Beautiful.
Very big part of what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. So then, you know, I'd get a book or I'd get a CD or something. Joe, you must listen to this. You must read this. We must do this. The poor fellow, he must have been nearly driven and providing for all these kids as well. So I wanted him to start some of the exercises and the practices there. And he didn't have the discipline.
Mm.
And I was getting a little
antsy.
Yeah. And so then in the end, I went... So we were married 37 years then, and,
yep.
and the youngest was 12. And I went, okay, I'm not living my truth.
Right.
I wished I could have been happy and mm-hmm. ordinary, and I was very happy with what I had,
yep.
the lovely home and all of that, but I just couldn't be. There was something else that was driving me. And it's this potential that human has to live, the
mm-hmm.
potential that human has for amazing love making. Like, I knew that it wasn't just about a physical act.
Right.
And
so it was good physically with your husband.
Yeah.
But not
Then it started being that at the end of it, right at the end of our marriage, I said to him, you can hit that button and that button, and I turn on physically, but yep. at the end of it, I'm lonely.
Right.
You're yep. not connecting with me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I began to be very dissatisfied then. Mm. And so I said in the end, I said, don't touch me
mm-hmm.
because I will turn on that easily. And he went, hun, that's way too big for me. And so then we separated. And
how did he feel about that?
It was really, really, really hard for him. He loved me, and I still get sad, you know, at the thought of it. After a couple of years, he actually had a bit of a breakdown with that. He's with another woman now, and, you know, he loves his horses and his cows, and she does too, and that's what he needs to, you know. That's as much as he needs.
Mm.
I needed more than that.
Yeah.
And but one interesting thing too, I look back, there were three big – the first big experience was that one when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I only saw this a few years ago. That experience was about prayer.
Okay.
The second big experience I had was around in the mid-90s, after I'd had the seventh child. It must have been the late 90s. I'd done Reiki sort of 10 years before that. That was and this fellow who I knew – his whole body ran a lot of electricity. Like he mm-hmm. could actually turn on machines by standing next to them with right. electricity. Laugh you, mate, but anyway, I could tell you some stories about that after we're off the air.
I wouldn't so, want, yeah. I, would, I can just imagine. I just wouldn't want him near the computer equipment.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It was amazing. I've never seen or heard anything like it.
So what happened with Mr. Electro?
Mr. Electro gave me a massage, and my body became an electrified circuit. And the massage went on for an hour and a half. I didn't know anything about breathing or tantra or anything. I didn't know anything. I was just, again, experienced this massage. And at the end of it, like, my whole body was literally zinging, and which now I know what that is now. But I almost levitated, and he felt that happen, and he got scared, and we both sort of shut it down. But it was incredible. Nothing sexual happened, but my whole body. So that the first experience was of prayer.
Yes.
The second big experience was touch. And the third big experience that we haven't got to yet was with breath. And that's then what I use in my work is prayer, breath, and touch.
Yeah.
Now.
Interesting, isn't it?
So what's the breath experience?
Well, that's another story. So going on to then, I was in the country, 37 years we were married. He moved away. Because it was tough for him. And then 12 months later, I found myself, I went in the Christmas holidays to Sydney. I had just the last one at home then. And I went to Sydney for a holiday for 2 weeks. I had to be down there for something. And at the end of the first week, I thought, oh, my God, I've got to move to Sydney. And when I was back home, I had a really good friend. We used to run meditation groups together. We had discussion groups at our home, you know, on Monday, and we explored sort of ideas together. And she has gone on to do some amazingly wonderful work in the world now. And we're discussing, I said, there's more, right? No, I wanted more. She had an experience, and she went off and did a tantra weekend. And she came back telling me stuff, and I still had no desire or calling to go and do that. And then I moved to Sydney that just within a week, which was pretty big, and that was in 2008. And when I got down there, three major things happened in that year. The first was I met a black African man, and I had sex with him in the stairwell of a public car park.
Brilliant.
The first time I met, like, I'd been speaking to him for two nights for a couple of hours, and I met him, and it was the most powerful experience. And you did a program some months ago about unleashing.
Yes.
And what I then saw, again, in retrospect, that he just sort of planted me up against the wall and just took me. And it was just stunning, amazing. And I was completely shaken and exhilarated by it. But the old Catholics think, oh, my God, like, how bad have I got? You know, like, what am I doing? And this is my first experience after, you know, the marriage.
Right.
What I saw now, what I see now is that I was so spiritual and in the higher chakras in the higher realms, that he really sort of fucked me into my body.
Yeah.
You know, he was the sex is so primal.
Brought you down to your lower chakras.
Yeah.
He earthed you.
Oh, he grounded, he earthed me, he fucked me. He was amazing.
Probably needed a bit of earthing after Mr. Electric.
I know, and I'd lived this life. I was 57 then, I think 56, 57. And it was just astounding. And then, and we continued on and off for the next sort of few years. If ever I needed, you know, experience, it was
grounding.
Jolly good Rogering.
Grinding. Yeah. It was him. It was just amazing. And then, but around the same time, I met this other fellow in Sydney who was, I just met him on the train. And he was a married man who had married late and was around 50-ish, and I began an affair with him, and my kids say to me, you know, well, didn't you have any guilt or, you know, where are you in this that you, did she know? No, she didn't know. And he hadn't had sex since his last one was born 5 or 6 years before. And what that experience taught me was I wanted, he loved his wife and he loved his kids, and I wanted him to be in that marriage and be with his kids. And it sounds weird and crazy and whatever word you want to put on it, but I felt like he would come into my place and we'd go to the golf club and we'd made love in the bush and all sorts of beautiful places. And he would come into my presence and right then I would choose to absolutely love him.
Right.
And he was like a most beautiful lover and I enjoyed it very much. But I knew that I couldn't have any attachment to him or to the experience.
Right.
So what it allowed me to experience was to, you know, when he walked out the door, cut.
Right. So it was an experience of pure love.
Absolutely.
But it was not attached to a particular person.
So it taught me non-attachment.
Yeah.
So you could direct the love to one person but then leave it.
Yes. Mm. And that in the beginning it was a sort of a discipline, but I knew, you know, I didn't expect anything from it. I wasn't getting money for it then. I didn't need to be taken out to dinner. I didn't need any anything back. It was just
the experience.
Just the experience of love in this moment. Mm. And in some ways, like sometimes I would just pour this love into him. And in my mind I was going, just fill yourself up with love. Now go back into your home this afternoon and just give your wife love. Just put your arms around her and love her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. That went on for 2 years. And around then at the end of that, this friend from home had gone and done this tantra weekend and she, there were a couple who were teaching tantra and they were a wonderful, wonderful couple and she wanted to explore more. This friend of mine, female friend, she wanted to explore more. De-armoring was what she was wanting to explore and she said, would you come with us? And I went, oh, yeah, you know, just say yes to everything. So the four of us began. We would get a house down in the country in the Southern Highlands or the Blue Mountains where we could make lots of noise and not be worried by anybody. And every couple of months for 3 years, we four went to a country house and we decided to what limitations and what boundaries had society, church, everything put upon us, and we were going to smash every boundary that we knew. So it wasn't just all a free-for-all. It was like, what was I wanting to choose this weekend? It may be to get rid of some, you know, Catholic limitations or something. So mm-hmm. three would give to one.
Right.
And then this afternoon, now what would you choose to experience? What are you choosing? What are you wanting? What's coming up for you in your life at the moment? You know,
so it was very much a conscious exploration.
It was a very conscious exploration. Mm-hmm. You know, we went from guilt to shame to abandonment to, you know.
And you discuss these things at length and you would explore the feelings and you would get in touch with your emotions and you would look back in your lives and think, well, where had these limitations been put on, and let's break through that. Let's make a new contract with ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
About
that's
who we are.
Put, yeah.
I'm good at that.
So, he's not my creative collaborator for nothing.
So what you were discovering was this renegotiation with yourself.
Yeah, and it was like then we had heard or known that if we were to take ourselves to the highest vibration, sexual vibration that we could get, with hands, breath, vibrators, through every orifice, what, where could we go?
Mm.
How far can we take this thing?
How far can we go? You know, what, and so the three would absolutely pleasure, and we would, each person would choose, and then we'd have this discussion, we'd have a four discussion on which, you know, if it was my turn, the four of us would discuss, well, how could we look that, and what would be the best, and whatever, and it would always go way off the scale to what we ever planned or imagined. We just saw magic and miracles and, you know, just getting around and all making love together. We would finish off sometimes and I was always in charge of the cooking. I loved to create this nurturing space. That was what I was good at. And it was just a blessing and a gift. Mm. And that's where I learned so much on those, what we call the four weekends.
This is absolutely fascinating. I am so enjoying this conversation.
And we'll look at more of this conversation after the break.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Sex. 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 Sex.
sex.
Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
And welcome back to this wonderful conversation we're having with Trish Lehman.
Lehman.
Damn, I thought I got it right.
Sorry,
it's neither here nor there.
With Trish, our sexual healer. And Trish, before we keep going sort of with this amazing journey that you've been on, I just have one question that I was reflecting on during the break just then, is that pretty well all of this has happened to you, you know, post-menopause, shall we say.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
And because there's this huge myth in society that, you know, when women hit menopause, they dry up and they lose interest in sex. And I know from my own clinical experience that that's not true, because I get so many women coming to me in their 50s and kind of like, right, now it's my turn, I'm getting turned on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, your own experience as a mature woman. I mean, what are your thoughts about maturity and sexuality as a woman?
Well, I think, you know, after that, I began to have such beautiful, amazing sex, and I'd really never been more juicy in my life. But I did just, it's flashed into me, I did go to, just before I left my marriage, I went to a 10-day course with a woman called Jean Houston from the States and up on Fraser Island, and some amazing stuff happened there, and again at a level that I can't analyze and put into words. But from then, I began to have this full body thing going on.
Yeah,
I had this experience of going down to the earth. And interestingly, I hadn't had a bleed. I hadn't had a period 8 months before that. I think I was 54, turning 55.
Right.
And on Fraser Island, I began to ovulate again and bled 2 weeks later.
Right.
That was something about Fraser Island's a woman in Aboriginal
place. Yes, so feminine.
Yeah, so and something happened then, and I began to have these full body experiences, full body orgasms, and it wasn't a genital thing; it was a full body thing. And I left the marriage about 2 years, I think, after that.
Right.
So then, when I began to have sex after that, it was just amazing and beautiful. And then it was all full body. It was genital. It was full body. It was just, I had energy racing through me, and that still continues to happen.
And do you think that you're able to have that energy race through you better now that you don't have the monthly cycles?
Well, I don't know.
It's hard to compare, isn't it?
Yeah,
because she didn't have the experience before menopause, so it's difficult to tell. But it's an interesting line of speculation.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just reflecting on my own experience and so forth, where I'm sort of perimenopausal.
Yeah.
But, I'm just interested in what keeps a woman juicy.
Or what can recapture previous juiciness.
And what I'm interested in is the fact that what you're focusing on here is the energetic state.
Yeah.
And it's not about the physical. And all this, my belief around why women supposedly aren't as, you know, sexual post-menopause is because of the physical symptoms. Whereas if you can keep yourself juiced up energetically and sexually and so forth, then it shouldn't make a difference.
And I think that's what, you know, we still in our society, for the most part, still see sex as a physical activity.
As a physical activity, yeah.
And it's not like it is,
yeah.
But it's so much more. Mm. And that's what I knew as a young thing. Mm. All those years of searching, that's what I intuitively knew.
Right. Yeah, the problem with the physical is that it's so compelling. For example, right now Jacqueline's very much involved in a very physical
relationship
with herself, yeah. With the flu.
Mm.
And so, no, I'm serious. Yeah, and I'm so, and what happens is that energetics can tend to go out the window if you're overwhelmed by physical sensations. Mm. And I think what happens with menopause is a lot of women experience these very profound physical sensations that distract them away from the energetics.
Mm.
And until the physical things have to some extent run their course, they may have to recapture that. But it's certainly a very interesting line of inquiry about the balance between the physical and the spiritual and how to recapture the physical through the spiritual.
But I, when I was going through menopause, I thought, I'm not doing this. And so, and I was really healthy and I'm not a drinker or whatever. I went to an acupuncturist and I had herbs and I went down that track because that's the track I always go.
I have heard great things about that.
Yeah. So I didn't have all that vaginal dryness or all those physical symptoms that they talk about.
Mm.
I had a bit of hot flush and I'd go back to my acupuncturist and said, well, this is happening. He'd go, okay, let's sort of sort that out.
Mm.
So it wasn't a big deal, you know. So I don't know. Like I didn't have that. Profound physical.
No.
But you did have profound spiritual insights and profound spiritual energetic phenomenon and experiences that then led you to actually doing this as a calling for work.
Yeah.
I'd really like
that. Yeah, so tell us about that now.
Could I just go back just a little thought that flew in there? When we're having children, the energy that goes to nurturing and mothering is such a different energy. It's such a different, and I suppose when I was with that fellow, it was like I knew that. I knew that oftentimes I did not feel like sex at all.
Yep.
When I was nurturing, mothering, you're in that mode, that energy. Maybe here's another thought that I was finished that mothering, nurturing. I had one, you know, at home.
Mm.
But I was
which
allowed
compared to seven is like nothing.
Yeah. But I was allowed to, my energy was able to go.
Mm.
That's just a thought.
That is interesting.
Mm.
Still, I want to get up back
okay,
to to the business.
Yeah.
How did you get into the business?
Oh, the business. Well, when we went on the four weekend, they were going to a sexual healers conference, the first in Australia in Melbourne, and we were having one of our weekends there in Melbourne in January. I said, oh, could I come along to that? And they went, yeah, sure. So I went to that and I saw these people doing, there were some sex workers there, but people doing amazing things. And I went, oh, my goodness. Like, I think I have to do this. And it was such a shock, really. Mm-hmm. I was just having a lovely time, you know, in the this was, we'd only had a couple of weekends together, we four. And in that, just that weekend before Melbourne, it was then, I said, we'd used vibrators and massage and all sorts of things before. And I said, look, I want to experience, like, I know ecstasy. I know the raptures, you know, I don't want to rely on, even though vibrators can take you to a very, very heightened state, I want to do it with, let's try it with breath.
Yeah.
That was my intention for my session. So I did do it with breath and I had, I think the teachers, they were just terrified with what happened there and what came through.
Mm.
The other little girl, a mate of mine, she knew me. And that was the most amazing thing. So then when I look back, there were those three things.
Yes.
The first prayer, the second touch,
yes.
and that third one was breath. That
right.
was that where that experience occurred. So anyway, I went to that conference in Melbourne and I thought, good grief, I've got to do that. What would that look like? How? Mm. How? Mm-hmm. No clue. And so 12 months went by. We still kept having our four weekends. I think that love affair was happening in that time. And then the next conference came along and could I mention Deej's name?
Yeah.
So Deej, who I believe you may be having on the show.
I'm going to interview in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Fabulous chap.
A wonderful, wonderful man. He gave me a massage at that conference or just after, and he said, Trish, you just embody this work. For God's sake, get an ad in the paper and get moving. And I, what? How? And so I just decided then that I didn't want to be a tantra teacher. There were plenty of good teachers there and I didn't think I could teach anything and I didn't want to receive money and that there was an outcome expected because I actually didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I just knew something that was happening. So I put an ad in the just in the adult section of the newspaper mm-hmm. saying tantra massage. And I was really thinking about my age. I thought, oh, you know, there was a gap in the market for older men, and I had my thoughts about that. But I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, nobody starts doing this work. And at those conferences, there were beautiful-looking young goddesses, you know, around. A little aside on that, mm-hmm. I think now that I couldn't have done this work in my 30s or 40s. When, you know,
Hadn't matured.
I just wouldn't have that emotional being able to hold somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some pretty amazing things then in the years after that. And as a 30-year-old or 40-year-old even, I couldn't have held that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have held that energy. So anyway, I got an ad in the paper. I was able to get a place. I decided to work from home. I decided as now that I was going to use my name. I wasn't going to be Cindy Lou or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to wear sexy gear. That mm-hmm. just didn't fit. And I put tantra massage, older gents preferred. And I just started, I would be able to hear on the phone mm-hmm. whether I could screen out.
Right.
And some they would just say, what is tantra? And I wanted ordinary men
mm-hmm.
and to give them an extraordinary experience.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. And that's very basically what happened. And a great majority of men who had never accessed a service like this before, they didn't even know why they came.
What was your first client like?
I can't actually remember the first one.
But you didn't find it difficult to get into the work?
No.
You intuited your way through?
No, I went to another lady called Ali, and I did a day. She said, when I met her at that conference, she said, mm-hmm. I'll teach you. And I went, okay. So she just went, this is the process I use. And I just start here, massage there, get them breathing and whatever. So I'd done all of that on the fall weekend. And when I looked at those weekends, they were my beautiful teachers.
Yeah.
And they had been doing a lot with Charles Muir, and mm-hmm. so they knew their stuff.
Right.
So this Ali, I went and I learnt massage, I learnt some breath and whatever. And then one of the rules I remember was don't allow a man to touch, don't allow his hands go because his energy goes out, keep it contained. So I started with that rule, and then...
What do you mean by that? Sorry.
Don't let him touch you.
Oh, so it's just one way touch. You touch him and he doesn't touch the other way.
Yeah,
yes,
just
sure.
Get him to keep focusing on his breathing and inside and whatever. And then these men were having extraordinary experiences. And then I got my own way about how I did that then, the touch, and each was so different.
Mm.
And this one fellow was not married. He was about 50. And he was just a shaking mess at the end of this, you know, hour and a half or whatever it was. And he said, Trish, just hold me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, shit, of course you'd need holding, you know. How could I not do that?
Right.
So then I began to that. And then I would get men who didn't actually, you could see, they didn't know how to make love to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd just sort of, okay, I'd let them touch me, and I'd say, oh, okay, what about we try this and whatever, try that. So it
evolved organically.
It did,
mm.
very quickly, until I got my own way and my own, and I'd always talk with them first and what they wanted and, yeah.
Is there such a thing as a typical client?
Absolutely not. My youngest was about 20. That was surprised me, these young fellows that started coming. And I went, look, I'm in my late 50s. And they'd say, yeah, that's okay. And what they were having sex and they were going, there's more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had amazing, there were about three that came then often. And the energy was just, each session was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and just teaching them to, you know, like our sex is sort of very localized.
Yes.
You know, okay. And so just teaching them to breathe the energy up through their body, and they would get the whole electrical.
To feel it through, yeah. Yeah. Once a guy does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can feel it in his whole body.
And then to old men who weren't having an erection and they just need to be touched
mm-hmm.
lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just, you know, I love the male anatomy. Like, I love having my hands on a male body.
And you work with disabled men as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's people that you've
seen.
How
long do these sessions last?
Oh, anything from an hour to 3 hours.
Do they cost?
Well, I was a bit funny like that. It was $200 the session.
And, not for 3 hours, surely.
Well, I did. Oh, because I know it was ridiculous, but I just...
And why is it that so many people in the healing profession do not value their services?
Well, I can't look at a time. You know, I go, okay, you know, like how would I know that it's going to
what
go on 3 hours?
What needs to happen needs to happen in that time.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe that's why you're so successful at the work you do, because you need, because you do what's necessary.
To do, yeah. Mm.
And then you just work your way through it intuitively and you're not overanalyzing, and people come back because they're gaining something. And what's wonderful about your work is that then they can bring that to their partners and to their relationship.
Would you ever consider working with couples?
I've just been asked that this week recently. I did work with one couple and, yes, I would, I'd feel like it seemed to be I loved men and they were the ones that came, but my work is changing at the moment.
Again, it's evolving organically.
Yeah.
You're being led.
I am. So there we are. I still don't have a title. And as soon as I would get one, maybe I'd be something else.
Well, I think that you're just the most wonderful, beautiful sexual healer who provides loving touch to those in need.
Thank you, Jacqueline. I don't like to use the word heal about it. It feels
Why not?
Like, I don't know. You got to heal something? No, just let me honour their men and their
You're a sexual honourer.
Honourer. And then they come to themselves, the beauty of themselves.
A horticulturist. you cultivate their sexuality.
I allow a sexual cultivator. Yes.
I allow them to own their sexuality,
whatever
form that takes, you know. That and being was an amazing thing when the male would give him permission to unleash his wildness, and I could hold that. That was very cool.
Great when a man does that. Oh, and that exciting, wonderful unleashing note. Yeah. I'd like to say thank you so much for coming here today.
Oh, time has flown.
It has. It's been absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure that you fascinated and hopefully inspired so many of our listeners. So,
well, that's my story.
Yeah, well, all the best. Thank you. And we'll
thank
wind
you
up
for
here.
Having me.
Been a pleasure, and we will, everyone, please join us again for another fascinating time down on the Tantric Lounge next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you again for stepping inside the Tantric Lounge. Please join your host, Jacqueline Hillier, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now, go try something you've learned this week.